My parents rang me from New Zealand this morning to wish me well. And when I answered the telephone, my mother said to me, "Do you have a cold?" And my father said to me, "You need to gargle because you've got something wrong with your throat." I said, "It's 6 o'clock in the morning." They had got their times wrong and they thought they were ringing me at 8 o'clock. So if I fall asleep, you know why. This morning we're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit since last summer, the person of the Holy Spirit and the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And today we're starting the series on the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And so this morning I'm going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love. And it's actually very apt that we're talking on love this morning, considering it was Valentine's Day yesterday. And I have a girl that sits next to me at work, and she's quite gorgeous looking. And she received a Valentine via the email. I mean, she knew who it was from. It was from somebody in her old team that she used to work for. And she thought it was actually quite funny. And so she thought she would forward it on to a friend of hers outside the BBC. So she forwarded it to this guy called Mark. And next minute, she started getting all these emails back to her saying that lots of other people had read this email. It was like 20 or 30 people saying they'd read this email. And what had happened was it had actually been a virus on her computer. So when she sent this email to this one guy, she actually ended up sending it to about 30 other people. The thing was, she hadn't selected the low life of the BBC. She had sent her email to the head of news, the head of communications, the head of personnel, the head of Radio 1. She had just sent this email. I mean, she sent it to men and women. So, yeah, I mean, the men wouldn't have minded because she's very good looking, but the other women may have thought it was a bit dodgy. If someone came up to you and asked you if you'd like to do a talk on the fruit of the Spirit, any fruit, which fruit would you choose? Because there's 9 of them. There's self-control, there's patience, there's joy, there's peace, there's gentleness, there's goodness, there's kindness. But when Paul asked me if I'd like to do one of the talks on the fruit of the Spirit, I thought, fine, there's 9. Obviously, I'll be able to do one of those 9. And my mind started mentally running through the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one I came to was like self-control. I was like, I can't do self-control. Then I came to patience. I was thinking, I can't do patience. And then I came to joy. And I was thinking, maybe on a good day, I could do joy. And when I ran through the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, it was a bit like a bad joke because I knew that I couldn't choose any of these fruits without me going through some challenge of actually learning and understanding what these fruit were. So Paul had to choose for me, and he chose me, love. It's been a bit of a journey, actually, discovering about the fruit of the Spirit, love. There's been challenges. There's been good times, funny times. One of the funny times was when my parents were here at Christmas, and I knew that I needed to crack on and start looking at love because they only left 2 weeks ago and I needed a bit more than 2 weeks to prepare my talk. So I was sitting at the table reading an amazing book by Max Lucado called A Love Worth Giving, and my parents were watching the TV. And I just finished reading this amazing story about this woman and love. And next minute, this voice comes screaming out of the TV, "You are the weakest link, goodbye." And I was just thinking, it's such a contrast. Anne Robinson, the weakest link, and the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, such a contrast. Max Lucado asked this question, "How much does God love you?" His answer was, "If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He gives you a sunrise every morning, and he sends you flowers every spring. Whenever you want to talk to God, he always listens. He can live anywhere in the whole of the universe, but he chose to live in our hearts. Face it, friend, God is crazy about you." I don't know whether you've ever thought about that before, that God is so crazy in love with you. Maybe you've actually come this morning with questions in your heart like, does God actually love me? The amazing thing about the word love is that we use it in hundreds of different ways. I mean, I think we use it more times in a day than actually we're probably aware that we do use it. In English, we only have one word for love. And with that word love, we do many things. the first thing we do is we love our pets. Yes, they can be very special, cute and furry, Michelle, but that's one thing we do with love. We love chocolate. Who doesn't love chocolate? We love our parents. Yeah, we love our parents. We love Christmas, time off work, presents, turkey. And of course, we all love watching the All Blacks win. It may not happen very many times and hasn't happened a lot lately, but we all love watching them win. But basically what we're saying is that anything that makes us feel good, we love. But actually God's love for us is much more amazing than that. God's love is much more amazing than just making us feel good. I recently read an article, actually, it's quite an amazing article, about a girl who was into New Age. And in this article, she was describing the relationship that she had with her crystal. And she said that she feels love from the crystal, and she loves the crystal back. She loves sleeping with the crystal, and when she wakes up in the morning, this crystal is emanating love towards her. I actually feel it's quite sad that today people are so starved of love, or they don't really know where to receive love, that they have to sleep with a piece of rock. Surely God, who has created us so intricately and intimately, has designed us to give and to receive more love than that. I mean, to be loved and to feel loved is a real and legitimate need that we have, and it's actually a deep, basic need of everybody. But if I attempt to meet my need for love, or I attempt to love you without first receiving God's love, it just doesn't work. The internet company Amazon.com lists lots and lots of books. And it's actually amazing when you look through how many books that they list. They list 2,000 book titles on heaven. They list 10,000 book titles on money. 16,000 on sex, 18,000 on God, but they have 30,000 book titles on love, which obviously means there's a lot of people out there looking for love. Even Freud, the psychologist, agreed by saying that people are hungry for love. In English, as I said, we only have one word for love, but in many other languages, it's actually they have several words to describe different aspects of love. And in Greek, they actually have four different words that they use to describe love. One of them describes friendship or brotherly love. One of the words describes romantic love. One word describes parental love. And the other is actually agape love. This is God's love. This is primarily the love which the Holy Spirit is producing in our lives when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love. Children always say what they think, and they have their own definite views about love. There was a little girl aged 9 who was asked, "How do you get someone to fall in love with you?" And she replied, "You shake your hips and you hope for the best." It's a very interesting approach. A little girl called Katie, aged 10, asked, when she was asked about love, said, "It's never okay to kiss a boy. They slobber all over you, and that's why I've stopped doing it." And there was a little boy called Bob, aged 9, when he was asked if he knew any original love songs. He said, "The one I know is, 'I'm in love with you most of the time, but don't bother me when I'm with my friends.'" It's obviously a favorite from where he comes from. But I'd just like to read you something about love. Love is very patient and kind. Love is never jealous or envious. Love is never boastful or proud. Love is never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. It's a fantastic love. And that's the type of love that the Holy Spirit is producing in us as the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. That means that the life that God pours into me by the Holy Spirit is producing in me a character of love just like the one I've just described. It means that the Holy Spirit, every day filling my life, is birthing in me a character of love. Not one that I can create myself, because I could not love people in the way I've just described there. But God, the Holy Spirit, is pouring into me a love that produces a character that is way past my own character. The Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. In the New Testament, when the disciples were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit came and filled their lives, everybody knew about it. And why did everybody know? Because the disciples were so changed. They were just so different than they were before. And that's what happens to us when the Holy Spirit begins to work on our lives and transforms us from the inside out. We become very different and people know that we have changed. In 1993, my sister came to visit me. And she'd never been to England before. She and her husband came. And they'd saved a lot of money and come and do this big trip in England. I have to say, it must have been the worst holiday she'd ever had in her whole life. And that was because of me. It's very embarrassing to admit. Just the way I behaved towards her and our relationship and the way I treated her, it was ghastly. I won't go into any more details, but we'll leave it there. But in 1996, she was very game and she came back for another holiday. And we were sitting in my room one day and she said to me, "You've changed." I just thought, how embarrassing that someone's actually noticed that you've changed. Because you're obviously fairly grim before if they've mentioned that you've changed. But in that three-year gap, the Holy Spirit had been transforming me and changing me from the inside out. Not something that I could do myself, but just an amazing work of God in my life. Agape love, God's love. This is the love the Holy Spirit primarily is focusing on developing in our lives. It's actually called unconditional love. And what unconditional means is there is no conditions attached to it. This love is given without any demands or without any strings attached. So it doesn't say, "I will love you if you will, in return, do whatever. If you are nice to me or if you love me back, I will love you." But God's love is a love that just gives because he wants to give. God's love towards me is not dependent on how I behave. So God doesn't love me more because I am good, and he doesn't love me bad, doesn't love me less because I am bad. There's a bumper sticker on a car said this about love: "Do you believe in love at first sight, or should I drive by again?" But that's not God's love towards us. He doesn't love me because I look good or I'm behaving well. He loves me because he wants to love me. 8-year-old Max came home from school one day and he said to his mother he wanted to make Valentines for everybody in his class. His mother's heart sank a bit, really, because every day when she watched Max come home from school, all the children would be laughing and playing together, but her Max was always at the back of the group, and he was always excluded. But nevertheless, Max painstakingly, for 3 weeks every night, made 35 Valentines for all the children in his class. On the morning of Valentine's Day, Max was really excited. He got up, and he carefully put all his Valentines in a bag and dashed out the door to school. His mother was sort of thinking through the day, how is he going to be? Because she thought, what happens if he comes home with not many Valentines, or maybe even none at all? So she was worried that Max was going to be upset. So anyway, she heard the children coming home from school and looked out the window, and as per normal, there was Max right at the back, nobody walking with him. And he had nothing in his arms either, which meant he hadn't received any Valentine's cards. But today, she saw something different about Max. He was walking really quickly home, and his face was just absolutely glowing. So when she opened the door, he raced in the door, and he said to his mother, what did he say to his mother? He said to his mother, "Not a one. Not a one." And his mother's heart really sank, but he said, "Mom, I didn't forget one of them. Not a one." That is the love that God wants to produce in us. He wants to produce a love in us that wants to give love, not to be popular or not to get anything back in return, but he wants us to have a love that gives just because we want to love. Little Max made 35 Valentines not because he wanted to be popular, but he just wanted everybody in his class to feel loved on Valentine's Day. The love that the Holy Spirit births in us is actually authentic and real. It's not a love that we can conjure up ourselves. It's not a love that we can produce ourselves. I don't know about you, but maybe you can relate to the frustration of this little girl who wrote to God and she said, "Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the world. There are only 4 in my family, and I'm having trouble loving them." And Mother Teresa put it very honestly too when she said, "It's easy to love people who are far away. It's not easy to love those who are close to us." I don't know whether many of you have ever been camping before, and I don't know whether any of you have ever slept 4 people in a one-man tent. But that's what happened to me at Christmas. There was my mum, there was my dad, there was my cousin, and there was me, all living in a one-bedroom flat over Christmas. And one day I went into the bathroom. It's the only place where you could have a bit of peace and quiet. And I sat down and I said to God, "If you don't place something in me today, somebody out there is going to get hurt." So I said to God, "I'm not leaving this bathroom until you place something within me." And so I started to run through the fruit of the Spirit. And I just said to him, "You have to place some love in me. You've got to place patience in me. You've got to place joy in me." And as I read through these, gentleness, peace, kindness, forgiveness, self-control, I just realized that these fruit are qualities that we need in all of our relationships. He didn't give us a fruit of might, and he didn't give us a fruit of strength, and he didn't give us a fruit of power. He gave us fruit that we needed in our everyday relationships. I have to say that he actually did do something in me that day that enabled everybody else to have a nice day, and me too. When we are in love with someone, it's easy to love them back. It's easy to be nice. It's easy to send cards. It's really easy to say nice words to people. But what is our strategy when we have a friend that has actually offended us or hurt us so much that we can't actually love them? About 6 weeks ago, a friend of mine asked me if I would help her do something. I said, "Fine, not a problem." So I went round on the day to start helping her, and it sort of transpired that somebody had actually gone a few weeks before and was helping her do the same thing that I was helping her do. And through the conversation, I realized that the other person had helped her faster and better, and she was obviously a bit annoyed at the way that I was helping her. So because she was annoyed, I became annoyed. And in fact, I became right naffed off by the end of the day. And as I was driving home, I knew that I was offended. I just knew I was so offended. And the problem was 2 things. I was doing this talk on love. That's one of the problems. And the other problem was I was actually going to be meeting up with her in a few days' time. And I knew that I couldn't go and I couldn't fake love. And I knew that God had been speaking to me so much while I've been doing this talk that I had to sort out the situation. So what I said to God was, "You have to prove that what you say in the Bible about your love is true. I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to make it up. I'm just going to wait until you do something in me to change how I feel about this person." I mean, I was honest with God and said, "You've seen the extent of my love towards this person, but I know that is not the extent of love that you have towards them." Because the Bible says this in Romans 5:5, "God has poured his love into my heart by the Holy Spirit." So I drove home saying, right, you have poured your love into my heart, which means I can then take hold of that love and I can love this person. I didn't feel like it at the time, but I knew that God would and could pour his love into me. So over the next few days, I didn't concentrate on my offense. I didn't think about what it was going to be like when I actually met up with this friend. All I thought about was this verse, you have poured your love into my heart by the Holy Spirit. His love is in me. And the funny thing happened that as I started to look at this verse and think about this verse over the next few days, it was like my heart became fatter and fatter and fatter. And I was actually really looking forward to seeing my friend, because my expectation and hope that God was actually going to do something and could do something in this situation was rising. So the day actually dawned when I went to see her and I knocked on the door and she opened the door, and the rest is history, because it was absolutely fantastic. But I know that it wouldn't have been like that if I had decided to do it on my own and in my own strength like I have done in the past. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19 that we love because he first loved us. This means we don't have to fake love. The fruit of love that the Holy Spirit produces in me is not fake. It's real, it's powerful, and it's enabling. The thing that I've discovered actually while I've been looking at love is I've actually been missing a step in the whole process of me being able to love. And the step that I've been missing was that I needed to receive love in order for me to give it away. I needed to allow the Holy Spirit to develop his fruit of love in me in order that I could love other people. Trying to love others without first receiving love from God is like going to a bank and opening a bank account. And you don't deposit any money into the bank account, but you go outside and you start writing checks. And all of a sudden, or sooner rather than later, your account becomes very overdrawn because you haven't deposited any funds in it. And so it is with our heart. If we don't deposit the love of God into our heart, we have insufficient funds to love other people. We start to try and draw on our love, but we find we don't have what it takes to love other people. So what is our strategy when we are offended or hurt? What is our strategy when I think to myself, I'm finding it really hard to love you and you are my mother or my brother or someone in my cell group or my neighbor? What is my strategy? Do I just through gritted teeth say, I will try harder? The thing is, it just doesn't work. I mean, we've all been there. If we're honest, we've all been there. So what we need to do is we need to receive God's love before we can give it away. If I want to get a suntan, where do I go? I go out into the sun. And I sit in the sun day after day after day after day. And I don't do anything. All I do is I sit in the sun. And after how many weeks, I have a suntan. People say, you've been in the sun, because they can tell that I have a suntan. So it is with receiving God's love. I need to day after day after day after day go to the place where I can receive love. I need to go and sit with Jesus, who is the source of love. I can't make it happen. I can't make it grow in me. I have to sit in his presence day after day after day. In order to receive the life of Jesus flowing into me, in order to receive the Holy Spirit flowing into me, in order to allow the Holy Spirit to produce his love in me, I need to be connected to Jesus. Paul mentioned last week about, in John 15, about the vine and the branches, how Jesus is the vine, and his life flows out of that vine into us, the branches. So I need to stay vitally connected to Jesus in order for his life to flow through me. If, for example, I have an amazing apple tree out in my garden that's got amazing apples, and I like eating apples, but I'm a bit tired and sick and tired of walking out into the garden to pick the apples, so I just lop off a branch, stick it in the corner of the kitchen, and think, well, that's really handy. I can just go and get an apple whenever I want to. But what I find is actually the small apples don't grow, and the big apples that are ripe and ready to eat actually start to rot and dry. Die. And that is because the branch is not connected to the tree. The life of the tree is not flowing into the branch. And so it is with God's love. We need to stay vitally connected to Jesus in order for his love to flow through us. It's a bit like if I'm on dialysis. I have to stay connected to a machine for it to clean my blood in order that I can live. So is this. We need to actually be vitally connected to Jesus in order to receive his life flowing through me. Another thing that I've discovered in receiving God's love is I need to be completely honest with God about the state of my heart and how much love I actually have in my heart. Nothing I can say to God about myself shocks him. I mean, he knows me so well, he knows you so well. He knows where we're at, he knows how much we love. So nothing we say to him will shock him. So I have found recently that it is good to be honest with God. I don't have the love it takes in this situation. I am scared about the state of this relationship I'm in because I haven't got the love to fix it. Or I've tried to love and I have messed up. Being completely honest with God is like sending him a massive invitation to come and be involved in my life and in my situation. Being completely honest with him, it's like it makes room for him to come and pour his love into my heart. So if I want to be a little bit honest with God about the state of my heart, I have a little bit of room for him to pour in his love into my life. But if I decide to be completely honest, I make a lot of room for God to pour his love into my heart. I have a friend who I really care about a lot, but about 4 months ago, we agreed to disagree on an issue. And in doing so, we haven't met each other, and we haven't actually spoken to each other. Now, I wouldn't say we've fallen out, but I would just say that we've decided that it's easier that we don't meet. And I actually thought that because I was a Christian, this was the right way to handle the situation. But since I've been looking at love and how it's the Holy Spirit that produces in love as love in me, I've been challenged to the core about this friendship. And I've been challenged because, if I was really honest, the reason that we're not seeing each other is because I know that I haven't got the love it takes to sort this problem out. So now that I know that it's the Holy Spirit that produces his love in me, it's like God said, Raven, all the excuses that you've been holding to keep distance from this person, actually, they don't exist. Because if I pour my love into you, you can pour your love out to them, and actually there is no excuse why you're not speaking and why you're not meeting. So what I did last week was I took a very deep breath, and I invited God into this situation, into this friendship. The thing is, it's really scary when you invite God in and you ask the Holy Spirit to do something, because the thing is, he will. And the Bible says that the Spirit gives life. And so this situation at the moment is very dead. But now that I've invited the Holy Spirit in, something is going to live. Now, I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. And I don't know if God is going to ask me to actually step out and do something in this situation. But one thing I do know is that God is going to do something. So today, now that we know that it's the Holy Spirit that produces a love in us that we need for these relationships, we need to think about the relationships that, I mean, some may be difficult, some may be quite easy, but just I've been offended. But we just need to look at the situations that we're in and invite God by his Holy Spirit to come and produce the love in us that we need. God's love is from an outside source. It is not my love mixed up with a little bit of his love. It is totally his love. powerful, amazing, and enabling. A little boy was spending his Saturday outside playing in a sandpit, and he had a new bucket, and he had a new spade, and he had a little box of cards. And he was making little roads in the sand and little tunnels, but right in the middle of a sandpit was this massive rock. So he tried to dig round the rock to try and remove it, but he couldn't. So he decided with all his might and all his strength to use his feet to push the rock to the corner of the sandpit. But then when he got it to the sandpit, on the corner of the sandpit, he couldn't actually push it up and over and out of the sandpit. No matter how he tried, no matter how many attempts he made, he didn't have the strength it took to push it out. And actually, in his last attempt, the rock fell down, squashed his little fingers, and he began to cry. His father was watching him from inside the house, and when the little boy started to cry, he came outside to help him. And he said to the little boy, "Why didn't you use all the strength that you had available to you?" And the little boy sobbed back and he said, "Dad, I did. I used all the strength I had." And the father said, "No, son, you didn't. You didn't use all the strength you had because you didn't ask me." With that, the father reached down, picked up the rock, and removed it from the sandpit. Today, we don't have what it takes, but he does. Today, he wants to freshly pour into our lives and into our hearts a new kind of love. Today, God, through the Holy Spirit, is committed to pouring his love into our hearts. So today, we can either receive a lot or we can receive a little. But God is committed by the Holy Spirit to producing and pouring his love into our hearts.
Thank you, Rowan. Let's pray together, shall we? Omin and the musicians, can you come and have a go? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Let's really, Rowan's really helped us understand this morning freshly just the tremendous power of God's love that is available for us to receive. And all of us, I'm sure, are wanting to know and experience more of that powerful, changing love from heaven. None of us this morning are going to say, "Hey, I've got enough of God's love, I'm okay." All of us, we're all on a journey of experiencing, knowing, tasting, receiving, being changed by the love of God as it washes over our lives, as it impacts our hearts, as it changes us. And this morning is an opportunity to take a step forward and receive more. So let's just open our hearts, just be quiet for a moment. I just see what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you as an individual. Where is God's love tugging at your heart? Where is God's love wanting to break through this morning? Where is God's love wanting to come and change your relationship? Where is God's love wanting to soften your heart today? Let's just be quiet for a moment and allow God to speak to us individually.